Everybody's looking at me funny, so I thought I'd look back at you funny. Commendation. The more I looked at this, the more I thought maybe I should have done more, but no. One of the first things I want to do is read my letter of commendation. Just an example. We've made it too technical. It's an easy thing. It is so easy that when you know about it, whoa, that has no strings attached other than the local assembly. It has nobody looking over your shoulder as to whether you're working right, correct? CMML is not a mission board. They are the farthest thing from it, but they're an organization that does certain things, handles our finances. All the money sent there goes to the missionary that it's designated for, not 10% or any money for office expenses. They live by faith there, and every once in a while, Don and I send some money here for office expenses because it's a different organization. It represents the missionaries before the government. It takes care of the donation that comes in, and they can give a receipt. But CMML does not have any power at all. It might surprise you. They can't say where you're going to go to work. They can't say who you're going to work with. They can't say you've been in this country too long and you need to make up your mind, or you need to come home. If there's a moral problem, and we had those in Colombia, CMML doesn't deal with them at all. Guess what they do? Write the local assembly. And they won't even give their advice on the problem. See, write the local assembly. And it's interesting, when Don and I left New Tribe Mission and came to the assemblies, we were amazed that it was so simple, we couldn't believe it. Let me read this, and it just gives you an idea that there's nothing technical here. This isn't something CMML sends out. Okay, now tell us, does you believe in this version of the Bible only? Does you believe in a rapture? Does you do this? Does you that? There's no form to fill out, except if you go there, you fill out a bank statement so they can put it in. They represent you before the government, because as far as American government's concerned, and they're not fussy. As far as they're concerned, CMML is a proper organization for what they do. And they accept what we do. No questions asked. All they want to worry about is if you're money laundering. That's true. I got a phone call here in the 80s. I could still hear a bit. Somebody's mumbling on the other side, asking me a funny question. When my conversation was over, I had no idea what they were after. A few weeks later, I received a summons from the IRS that I owed $64,000 in back taxes. True. And each month the interest rates were like 12%. You couldn't get out. So I went to a lawyer I knew, Stan Lynn, the Christian lawyer, and Stan laughed. Somebody in Kansas is looking for a promotion. I know what he's trying to do. I'll take care of it. What is that? He thinks what we taught you chapel is a money laundering thing. So, big shot downtown, and this was the biggie. Had us come in, and I'm like, yeah, see. And he sat at his desk, and he opened the file. He probably read it before we came in. Honestly, it was like 2 minutes. He closed this and he said, Wauwatosa Community Chapel is a legitimate church. I'll be right back. And he came back with a photocopy. He said, from now on, when you make out your taxes, put this in, just some guide, so some guy doesn't try it again. So money laundering. No. Anyway, let me read this now. There's some things I want to say then. March 22nd, 1970. This is a photocopy. We have a nice envelope with the original in, and it's hardly tucked. We have it under a glass thing where it won't rot, and it will be one day in my memorial museum. Oh, that's his. Anyway, let me read it. Christians at the Wauwatosa Community Chapel have commended Mr. and Mrs. John Duckhorn to the work of the Lord in Columbia, South America. Mr. and Mrs. Duckhorn have been missionaries in that country for about 2 years under the auspices of Neutralized Mission. They had been exercised for some time to associate themselves with the assemblies, and this has resulted in their being commended by our missionaries in that country. What it meant was strange. We had no commendation. The missionaries all sat down and wrote a letter. And they said, when you go home, take this to an assembly and show them. And all it means is that we, like you, want you back. So that's what, all right, missionaries in this. And upon the advice of our missionaries in Columbia, they have returned to the state to seek commendation from the assemblies there. We're happy to do this and trust the Lord's richest blessing. That's it. 9 people signed it. There's only 3 elders on this list. So that means it doesn't always have to be in the hands of Sanhedrin. Others can do things. Here, Gus Quint, Jimmy's dad, Richard Schilt, Rich Becker, Gerald Miller, Ed Wellscoff, Harry Willey, Al Peters, Don Smith, and a man by the name of James Russell, an insurance salesman for Allstate. See, he was a good teacher, Jim Russell. But he was really good, really good. So that's it. It's as simple as that. No questions asked about our beliefs or this or that. They take it that the assembly is knows what's going on and if there are any problems. Now, at the same time, they printed ours on a magazine called Letters of Interest. Some of you may remember that. This is where they printed a lot. I want to read this, just part of it, because it was a couple, Mark Metrick, whose commendation was in here at the same time. We often pray for him. It says, he spent June through August 1969 in Bolivia with the missionaries there. He was on a team, right? Bolivia, Helmut Haltridge, Shirley Haltridge, who are in the book, were on that team. Some of the people. Now, then it said, a letter from the Christian school requests they return to Bolivia at this time. The believers in Centralia Bible Chapel are happy to give their blessing and commendation to Mark as he seeks to obey the Lord in his work. Now, the point I'm getting at, he was there for that, just for a summer. And to join Literature Crusade, the elders had to sign a letter. It wasn't a commended letter, to put it here, but it was a letter of approval. Yeah, take this young couple. They could use the experience of growth. But when it's two months were up, had to go home. Right? It wasn't in perpetuity. So he had to go home. But a lot of missionary people who were there, these young couples, Bill Loudon Sr. and piles of them were still there. Some of them wanted to stay. They wrote their assembly. Their assembly said, that's fine, stay. So there's not a whole lot to it, but I thought it was interesting. In other words, this 2 months was kind of a provisional thing. Just sending them out for training, working with the missionaries, under the direction of missionaries to start assembly. we had a group like that in Bucaramanga, in Bogota, in Colombia, in Bogota, Bucaramanga, Barranquilla, Cali, Medellin, teams. And so some of them then wanted to stay and came back. There were others who had told their elders they wanted to come back, and the elders didn't send them back. I have no idea why. All right, so that part of it. So commendation. Now, if I would ask you, open up in the epistle where Paul gives an explanation on commendation. It's all by inference. The word is used in ways, and you say, oh, and you begin to understand it. But there is no direct instruction. If the elders are to commend anybody, they. So it's really important. Now, just a couple verses here. What one of the things is, why commending? First, I mention it because there were false prophets, false people around, false teachers. And you want to know the new guy who comes down to the field. You don't send him down and say, okay, you're going to work here in Columbia now. Here's 64 questions you answer. And it better be correct because, okay, none of that. But you want to know that an assembly somewhere approves him. You accept the fact that when the person comes, you can be comfortable with that. You don't always get along and everything. But their objective is the same. Win souls, be involved in planting churches, local church. But you can't find them. What you find is the word is used in many places with an explanation. And on the basis of that, we put together an idea of, I don't even want to say doctrine, an idea of belief. Beliefs, okay, what this is. So I want to do this quickly because there's a lot more I want to say. But I want to go to Acts chapter 13. Just to show you a few things, that's all. Chapter 13. Verses 2 and 3. This is a group of men in Antioch. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work to which I have called them. Your job is to recognize what I'm doing in them. I have called them to work. Part of the problem we had with new tribes, and it's a good organization, is they were always hovering over you. They would say, for example, we would say something about what we were doing down there, and they said, well, pray about it. We would pray about it and say, here's what we feel. They'd say, you can't do that. We already planned to do that. Then you thought to yourself, why pray about it? No, I'm not being wise, God. Because after Donna and I went back, and we didn't know where we were going to go when we got back, we had told the elders here, we're going back to Columbia, and we want to find a new area in Columbia. We'd like at least 6 months or more when we don't have to do anything except look around and see how the Lord directs. We came back, and there were problems that some of the missionaries had in Bogota. Bogota was stagnant. It was just going nowhere now. And so while we were looking around, a few other people came up and said, we're doing the same thing. Six of us formed a team to Bucaramanga when we went. It was really nice. Really nice. And we got together every Thursday morning for prayer, for coffee, talking about what the Lord was doing. And no, quote, decisions were made like, here's how we're going to see this organization. Marsha did the mayor's office. Sandy worked with women. Bill and Dory King and myself spent time going off and looking around. We built all the furniture for the office. We built all of this stuff like that. But we found Bucaramanga. And then a little while after that, the Yeros, who came from New Zealand, were in Bogota. And I hardly knew them. And they had seen the problems in Bogota. And they came down on vacation and said, can we work with you? And we said, we were praying that you'd want to work with us. So they joined. And it's just a small thing, but all of us were free to seek what the Lord had. It was amazing. And we started thinking about the mountains. Okay, we'll work here, back in the mountains. Look at all the small towns. It was just a joy. And didn't have to respond. So it's different. That gives you freedom. Gives you a sense of doing what God has called you to do. So right here, it talks about that. The work to which I have called them, having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. Now, no question that fasting and prayer. Fasting is not necessary. It's a nice thing, but it's not a qualification for commendation. So, anyway, they sent them away. And now, go to chapter 14. Oh, I did want to mention a little bit quickly in Acts chapter 11. When the work began in Antioch, end of chapter 11. When the word began, started in Antioch, verse 22, people in Jerusalem sent up Barnabas. Now, Barnabas was part of the group in Jerusalem. He was a good man, a godly man. They sent him up there, verse 23. And when he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad, encouraged them with purpose of heart that they should continue with the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. I could pause here. Thinking about Barnabas, he's one of the most unkindly treated men in the New Testament. And it always bugged me. It really did. I don't know why. It always bugged me. We know later on, Paul and Silas were sent out. Barnabas and John went to Cyprus, and people said they weren't commended. And you see, Barnabas, he probably went, this is true, what people said. Probably went home and passed to the Baptist church. He's afraid of the mission field. I heard that from missionaries. But anyway, if you want to know, after that, they say, I'm getting off now. Barnabas was never mentioned again. Was he? You don't even know. 1 Corinthians 9:6, what Paul is talking about, the apostle, don't they have a right to do this and do that and do this? Or is it only Barnabas and I who don't do this? See? And second of all, where did John Mark come from? He was just a summer cheap kid. And later on, Paul, Barnabas, Mark. So don't be cruel to Barnabas. No sermons on Barnabas, not following the Lord's direction, going home and pastoring the Baptist church. Hey, we need to go on. 14:20. All right. I'm talking too much tonight because obviously I haven't talked a lot. It's like 14:23. Okay. This is when Paul was out in Iconium, Lystra, and when they had preached the gospel in that city and made many disciples, then returned to Lystra, Iconium, strengthening the souls, exhorting them to continue in the faith and saying, we must through many tribulations. 23. So when they had appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. Now, careful. Does that mean they made them official ministers? All it seemed to say, after they saw these men and they were just leaving the Lord's hands. He's yours. He'll take care of you. See? And he'll guide you. So the apostle did that. And then we know in Acts 15:40, Paul and Silas were commended to Antioch after Paul and Barnabas had the spike. And it's a shame they did, but missionaries do. And many times, God has a blessing. Both of them go and do that. So, in Acts 18:27, I will show you how different it's used, different ways it's used. Apollos, well, let's go to Acts 18:27. All right. Ministry of Apollos. Now, a certain verse 24, named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man, mighty in scriptures, this man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and he taught accurately the things of the word. Though he knew only the baptism of John, so he began to speak boldly in synagogue. And let's go to verse 27. And when he desired to cross to Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him. And he arrived. He greatly helped those who believed through grace. So he wanted to go. Well, he knew who Apollos was. And he gets there. And they gladly received them on the basis of a letter. But were they looking for an official letter of ordination, or they were just looking for the fact that here's a group of people knew him, he's going to a place where they don't know, and we're going to sign this letter and say, he's a good preacher, he's fervent in spirit. He must have gave rocking message. Man who knew things. So so he went, and verse 24, he vigorously refuted, publicly showing from the scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. So here's a letter sent by them, along with him. He's gone. And of course you're going to get over there, and there's a new group of Christians, and it's nice to receive this. You feel comfortable. Take them. Missionaries in Colombia welcomed us on the basis of this. All right. Now, I won't take time, but in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul is being criticized strongly by his enemy. And he uses this word in chapter 3:1, chapter 4:2. Chapter 5:12, chapter 6:4, chapter 10:12, 17:18, and 12:11. And all of it is that other people said he's not a legitimate apostle. There was division in the church. He's not a legit apostle. And he said, do I honestly have to, after all I've done? He started this church. See, I've been teaching you. And now I got to bring a letter of commendation from this group. What? But if you read those verses, it's interesting. So it doesn't lay down rules of doing it, but it just states it. States it. And so Romans 16:1-2, Paul, the end of Romans, says, Phoebe sent to the church in Rome by Paul, she's going, and she's going to another church and appointed. Paul individually come in. That didn't mean Paul laid hands on her. It simply said, accept Phoebe when she comes. She serves over here. She's a dedicated woman. I'm paraphrasing. That's all. In those days, it was good for even unbelievers to travel with letters, wasn't it? Because you go somewhere and you're going to be somewhere in hospitality, and even secular people wrote letters to pray. You know that the book of Philemon is a letter of commendation? What's the story? A slave runs away, steals money, goes to Rome where Paul is, somehow gets saved. Whoa, see. But he spent all the money and gets saved, and Paul is using him. Well, Paul is, go here, go there, go. This guy is just really eager to do something. And Paul said, I got to send you back. I can't dishonor the feelings of Philemon. And he's going to send the letter of Colossians with Tychicus or something, if that's the way to pronounce it. I never could hear them. And these books about pronunciations are useless to me. I don't know how to do anything. Anyway, so he sent the letter of Colossians, but he sent a private letter to Philemon. And he said, this. You go back with, I want. So they go back. Imagine this. There's no phones or somewhere. We're down the road now. We'll be there in 20. Knock at the door. And Philemon opens up and they're touching. And he's, this is for the church. And he reads. And then right behind him is a slave. What is the Philemon with himself? And Philemon's a good man, a godly man, but something really hurt you. Even for the best of us. So there's a little in Philemon, there's a little commendation of the slave. He served me, he does what I want, he loves me, he's this, he's that. Receive him back. How? And you would receive me. And you would receive me. Interesting. And if Philemon answered the door, how would he receive Paul? Paul, you old horsefly, when I come in, wow, I didn't even know you were coming. Why didn't you let me know? Well, we sent some pigeons, but we got lost somewhere. See? Okay. And then Paul says, because the slave spent a lot of money. It could have really harmed Philemon's business, whatever it was. And he said, if he owes you anything, he couldn't pay it back. If he owes you anything, lay it on my account. Wow. See, if you insist he must pay, I'll pay. So in one sense, okay, enough of that. But this is used around in many ways. And so it's important to take a look at this and understand that it's used by inference. We come up with this, which just makes sense. They are committed to the grace of God. It's recognition of God's calling in their lives and what we are doing, honoring what God has done and send these people and give them this letter. What it does for us, CMML cannot handle the whole United States missionary movement. So it allows them to handle people from the assembly. And when you're commended, after we had that letter of commendation, Gus called out east, said this couple's going to come through Wyoming, sent him to the office, and we'll get him some meetings. We had 6 or 7 meetings in that area. First time among the assembly. And Seaman will explain to us what they do not do. Because they kept saying, we're not a mission. And then we signed papers just like Sonia and Jeremy did for a bank account. So when the money gets to CMML, it can be put in their name. And once a month, the missionary gets a voucher in the mail, telling how much money is there. That's frightening, let me tell you that way. That's kind of creepy. And who sent it? Every once in a while, somebody says, I want to be anonymous. So that's why you'll see sometimes they'll say such and such has to be in by the 28th of a month. If you happen to read. Because that's the day when they have to start the new month or something like that. So you get that. That's what they handle. But if there's a moral problem, there's a doctrinal problem, they don't handle it. Sometimes I think they want to hear the details because it names names that may incriminate people. Oh, right. Now, we had one missionary living in immorality with his secretary. He was kind of caught. And somebody wrote CMML, I don't remember anymore. And they said, you have to write his assembly. The assembly sent an elder down. The elder talked to the guy, called the rest of it together and said, he's not in sin. You guys are jealous of what he does. That's that. Maybe a year later, somebody else from some other mission caught him, told the missionaries, wrote the assembly in Chicago area. The assembly sent the guy, the same elder down, and he said to the guy, and he immediately wrote a letter. His commendation had been removed. So, it took a little while. Now, all of that being said, I've got to go. Oh, holy mackerel. I may die next week. So let me finish this, okay? I mean, I don't know how it's going to go from day to day. Some days I wobble and I actually have to hold a reining going down the stairs. And other days I can. So let me look at some things here. The calling, well, we've seen that. The Holy Spirit directs them in Acts 13 and Acts 14 and other places we see the Holy Spirit. And remember, the commendation is not to a place, even though somebody's going to go to a place. Let me tell you a story quickly. There's a couple in Bogota from Britain. Peter Levitt and Anne was from Scotland. Really, really nice missionary. They didn't get much money at all. They always struggle. Sometimes we made sure something came through of the other missionaries. Really faithful. They decided after 13 years, they wanted to move from Bogota to Pereira. So he wrote a letter to the assembly and said, Anne and I are thinking about going to Pereira. And they sent a letter back and you were commended to Bogota. You can't go to Pereira. And the rest of his missionaries were really getting bent out of shape with that. You commend them to God's work because you have confidence in their gifts and what they can do. So Peter and Anne stayed. And eventually they had to go back to England. I remember our family went up to help them pack, South End, help them pack. and get him to the airport. But I couldn't believe that somebody said that. They were commanded to work. As if they changed, they couldn't know God's will. So, okay, now. So, commendation is a responsibility of the local assembly. Here's what we're looking for. Acts 13:1-2, the person is not a novice. In other words, a new believer, inexperienced believer, not a novice. You see, Paul and Barnabas, when Barnabas went to get Paul, remember, after Barnabas went, he started looking for Paul, who was in Tarsus, and brought Paul, and it said they stayed with the assembly a year. And with other people, and outreach was big. And then after they came home, after Lystra, Iconium, Derbe, it said they spent a lot of time there. So they were known, even in the first commendation, because Paul and Barnabas were spearheading and doing things. Right. Anyway, not a novice. They should have some experience in the things of God. I'll go down some of the things, but they should be somebody who's had some time to live and use what they can and grow and mature. And it doesn't mean they have to be an age. Mission Board, 28 years old. That's right. 20. New Tribes was the exception. They sent goofballs like me at 25. I don't know. But they didn't know much back then. But 28. All right. Now we go on. Here's some more. So the person can't be a novice. All right. Acts 13:1-2. Now, there must be a definite call. These guys, Paul and Barnabas, on two occasions, the Holy Spirit was using them and bringing fruit. These men then, where was I here? All right. These men here are called and the assembly recognized. And they sent them to what? The work that God called them to. The work God called. And yet the missionary is responsible. If he gets on the field and starts messing around with false doctrine stuff, somebody can take away accommodation, remove from the list. All right. So here it is. Are they active in the local assembly? Paul and Barnabas were. Are they active here? Are they doing something? Are they, even if they're not doing a lot, are they seeking to do something? They like to witness, they like to do this, they like to do that. They're ready to do something. We need somebody to do this. Well, I don't know how to do it, but I'll try. And I think that's one of the things that helped me at the Free Church. Because every time they asked for, in my early years, a volunteer, I will. And I realized I didn't know anything about plumbing and stuff like that. That sort of thing. I will. Okay. But are they active? The other thing, are they fitted for this task? Can they preach? Now, I'm not saying polished messages. Do they know how to open the word and share the gospel? Do they know how to do it publicly and how to do it individually? A story, because I have tons of stories. Back in the 80s, I was on the radio in Milwaukee for 5 years, early morning radio, WVCY. And every once in a while, some listener would, you know, figure I knew all the answers. So I got a phone call from a young man one day and said he wanted to talk to me. So met him at a coffee shop at Mayfair. Mayfair at one time was a really neat coffee shop. It was really good. The apple turnovers were to die for. Let me tell you something. Anyway, I met this guy there. And I said, how can I help you? He says, yeah, the Lord called me to be an evangelist in Scotland. Wow, that's good. That's neat. But my church won't my church won't send me. Well, he says, I don't know. God called me. I asked him two simple questions, and he became angry. One, have you won souls? Have they seen you win somebody? No. How much are you involved in? I said, that's why they're not interested. And he got up and walked out, which was okay. Except he left me with the bill for the coffee. And I still remember that, $14 or something like that. So, but this kid, I want to be an evangelist in Scotland. Two simple questions, and he got all riled up. He wasn't getting it. I have no idea what he was doing. Never met him again, ever. So, are they fit? Can they preach? Do they know how to share the gospel? Do they see some results? Does it mean that the person is winning souls every day? But it means that there's something. We see people witness to their schoolmates and their interest in schoolmates. Maybe they don't win a person the Lord, but the schoolmate is interested in talking or listening. They're interested in sharing the gospel. That's why they have to be more than a novice. But anyway, so do they see any results? Is their life consistent with testimony? Are they doctrinally sound? Do they know enough of the scriptures, or are they just taken up with current fads, fancies, and ideas? And so they're all involved in these things. So we need to see if they are doctrinally sound. Could they present some doctrine? Now, they're not theologians. They don't have to write a 56-page dissertation. But they know enough. They know where to go. They know how it is. I knew a lot, but when I got to Columbia and we started the churches, wow. Whoa, did I study. Wow. So anyway, are they doctrinally sound? Okay. Can they explain things to people? Do they know how to be clear and correct? Another thing, this may sound strange. Are they capable of earning a living? Why? I'll tell you why. Because some people say, I can't get anything. I can't do anything. I think I'll serve the Lord. There are people like that, a lot of people, see, who somehow along the way they've moved here, there, around, decide if I go on one of those teams, then I can be missionary in Columbia. And so are they capable of earning a living? There was one of the kids on the team, I remember his name. Good kid. He came down to visit us from Manitoba on his motorcycle, parked it in Miami and flew it and spent all summer with us. Great kid. But here and there and around the place, as long as he was with us and we took him around, he was quite content. Anyway, he asked me some things about it, and I said, you got a job? Well, yeah, I work here and there. I don't know. Why don't you go home and work in your assembly and take an apprenticeship or something? Just threw it off. A little while later, he said, I entered the program to be an electrician. So we did all of that. And then later on, he asked his elders for accommodation. They said no, because he had not really been involved. So the point simply, but he had this job. He was a good kid. I don't know what happened up there, but he said, I did all of that and they won't send me. Well, there were some rough edges he had, some real rough edges, and he just didn't get rid of them. All right. Now, are they truly saved? Sounds crazy. can they give more than a camp by your side testimony? You know what I'm talking about? Shake your head, yes. Can they do more than give a camp by your side testimony? And if they can't, something not right, frankly. I'm not saying they're not saved, just not right. So these, okay, so remember, our Lord said, by the fruit you will know them. Quickly. I'll go through these quickly. I'll have others for contrary. Stability. Transfer problems to the field. That's why you want a letter. Maybe the guy's always confronted. Maybe if somebody doesn't agree with him, he gets huffy. Say. Maybe if his ideas aren't accepted, that's not the stability they need. As well as emotional, right? Are they easily upset and offended? Are they easily upset and offended? Quickly take issue with everything I said. And what about moral life? Are there any little whispers going around? You want to know. You don't want to send those to the field. You don't expect them to get off the plane and work there and be totally mature, but you expect them to be able to handle themselves in a new culture and a way that they're going to learn, rather than saying, oh, these people, I don't know what's wrong with these people. There's a writer who's written a lot of excellent books about all kinds of things. I won't give his name. Probably wouldn't want me to. But he was on our team. And he was really good. He learned Spanish. Before I went back to America, I said, come to Malaga with me. And I had this old beat-up Jeep. And I had a tin top, and he kept hitting his head. See, banging his head on the top of it. But he said to me, how can you do this? I said, what do you mean? He said, you know, I'm here. He spoke Spanish beautifully. He said, but I just cannot work with these people. And I'm not going to come back. I didn't criticize him. I thought, okay, see. Somehow with all his abilities, and he's written a lot of books. He's written for a conservative think tank from way back. He's written missionary books and liberation theology books. Tons of stuff. I stayed in touch with him. But I had to give him a hand when he said that. See, I just have a hard time adjusting. How can you do it? Maybe he thought, maybe there's something. Anyway, I don't know. What I didn't say that, but all right. So, does he know scripture enough to know how to make use of it in his life? I must put hay in there because I'm going to be dead soon anyway. Something's going wrong here. Okay. Can he get along with other people? Or is there always some confrontation? Do they want their own way? You know, somebody, and he may know the Bible well, but you open your mouth and you don't say just exactly the way he wants it. Come on, John. See? Go away. Because when you're doing the work on the mission field, you don't need to have these people on your case all of the time. So, they went their own way. This compassion for others is what this writer said. I just cannot. It was really being honest. I just can't. He said, some of them are so crude, they're so this, they're so that. Well, he was right. But he couldn't get on and accept it. So my point was is that compassion rather aloof. Never, you know, being part of anything in a sense, just kind of back from stuff like that. hard to approach, hard to talk. I remember somebody saying to me once, talking to me, and he said, he had a problem. He said, I went and talked to that elder over there. And I said, well, can I ask what he said? Yeah, the elder said, I never had that problem. He said, I will never talk to him again. And he never did. He never talked to that elder again because he said he wasn't listening. That's why I have stories. I mean, 50 years old. Okay. What else? Prejudices. Prejudices. Okay. Easily offend. I gotta keep moving here. But that's all right. Does he have a proper attitude toward the Lordship of Jesus? I'm not talking about making everybody accept Jesus as Savior and Lord. I'm not talking about that because that can be doctrinally messed up. Accepting his Lord is separate from Christ. Anyway, the Lordship toward of Christ. What about God's word? The final thought. Does he like to dabble around in all kinds of stuff? You're reading something and the new fad, and you're talking something in the Bible, and he tells you about the new fad or something, and you're thinking, wow. See, I don't even want to get into this. And about the Holy Spirit working his life, his gifts. And this is something they went out, commended by the Spirit of God for the work that God had called. And you believe the Spirit of God lives in every believer, and your gift, you believe, is by the grace of God. And you know how the Holy Spirit works in people's lives and helps them. So, all right. Now, one more thing here. Five more pages. But one more thing here. A husband and wife in total agreement. Out in the field, the wives are there and they're there. But when the wives started having their at conferences, having their gossip time and their tea time, and we would be over there. Donna told me one time, I'm surprised at how many don't want to be here. Pete wanted to come, and I'm his wife. Maybe that explained why she never gets out of the house and does things. And I'm going to pat myself and Donna in the back. Donna wanted to be a missionary before I met her. And more than once, the missionary said, you guys don't have these kind of conflicts. Because she made up her mind even before I became a Christian. That's not easy for her, but that's what she was called. So this is important for the wives, and are they in agreement? Nancy Yarrell, Dick met her in seminary, Bible college, and she had been thinking about being a missionary. And they met, and Nancy L has like Don. They're thick and thin. There are adjustments to be made in the field, a lot of adjustments. Buying, selling, taking care of the house. I can't buy a vacuum cleaner. Vacuum cleaners are $1,000. See, I can't do this, I can't do that. Okay. The wife should feel in harmony with her husband, even though it's hard. Right. Next, they trust the Lord to guide. Right. Will they trust on this? Second place is, do they nail it down? Well, just commend me and I'll find something. I want to go to Columbia maybe and stuff like that on my mind. Well, that's kind of nailing it down. And this sort of thing, not just looking. Well, running around with the letter looking. You have to have at least something nailed down. I want to evangelize. I picked Columbia. One of the reasons because I wanted to work with Catholics. I wasn't a believer more than 6 weeks. I want to work with Catholics. So I had some things like that. But anyway, they have it nailed down. Kind of letting the Holy Spirit fine tune things. Takes some time. Right. Onward here. are they in contact with field? Don't go to the field and surprise anybody. I'm here. We're here. Who are you? Oh, I know you. Come in. Yeah. You guys don't speak in tongues. What? Well, that happened among them. That's right. So I know I'm being wise, guy. Well, that'd be. So contact with feet. All right. Language study. Time, effort. Are they willing to do that? And of course, a burden for the lost. Now, I'll just kind of end this here with they need to know how to rightly divide the word. They need to know how to study the Bible. And I'm thinking consecutive study, not put it together. Get in the epistles. That's where the church is alive and powerful. That's where you see the church. Okay. Language study, as I mentioned. what level of persons are they among? What that writer, that's what it was. He just, sometimes I can't even have a clear conversation with someone. And he was, as I said, fluent in Spanish. He was just being honest. I wouldn't want him to come back, but all right. So there's no training ground except the local assembly. Use your gifts. That's all you begin to spot gifts. This kid's that good at that. This kid's good at that. He's doing something. This you begin to see. You might hear a guy that's really a good teacher. But he knows how to take and he gets excited and he rams the truth home. This guy's got a gift of exhortation. This guy got a gift of reaching heart, not just here. All right. What else? So informing the elders what they can do. And now support the problem. But you don't take from the world, you don't take from the unsaved, appealing for funds. Oh, one thing among the assembly, some of you may have heard it now, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. You know who told me that? The secretary at CMML when we went there. She's handling all this money. She said, you ought to see the money some of these people get. And this guy over here and this guy, you barely makes it. And that she told us, squeaky will get the grease. Yeah. First time I've heard it before. But anyway, the point is, Paul did for others, and he had confidence in the Lord's people. But as Paul went around, there was this great hospitality. Well, these are quick. That's why I said maybe I should take another week. So, commendation is easy. A local church, he's one of these people. They have some abilities. They love the Lord. They want to go out and do something. They're not 100% capable yet, but they want to, and the elders see this. They see the stability. They see the hunger. They see what the abilities are. And they're going to this country, and they let the people know they hope to come. And good. So we made it too technical. We made it too technical, too complicated. And this should be the goal of the thing. So that's it. Then something that burned inside me, we had these kids at New Tribe. Remember years ago, all these kids from the assembly were going to New Tribe. There was 8 or 10 of them used to come. and Don and I had him over in the house all the time. And sit around the table and say, well, what's CMML? Or how does CMML tell you what field to go? I'm serious. I found out by talking to some of them that the elders didn't know much. When one of the men from CMML came through and had a program here, I said, I'm getting the impression that a lot of elders don't even understand CML. And this guy said, some of them never even talk about it. So I said, what? How do these kids go? They're happy to have all of these organizations. Once you join the whoop-de-doo crowd, they're going to be over here. Why don't you go there? And so I said, it looks like the assemblies need elders need a greater teaching. He said, well, absolutely. It's been slipping. So and when I came home, John Smart was president of Mass and he taught mission. And he had me there. He had other men too, but he had me there once a year every spring to talk to his class, maybe 6-7 years in a row. Primarily that these kids would know, these people would know what we believe, what we are, where we go, how we trust, the kind of people we want. Father, thank you for your kindness to us. I thank you so much that when I was struggling in Colombia with all of the ramifications of mission organizations and approval and other things that were wearing me out, that were making it hard for me, I thank you that one day I ran into a crowd of young people at a tourist attraction. And I went to talk to them, and they said they were students from Emmaus Bible School in Oak Park, and they wanted to teach. And from there, Father, you let me know Carl Lehman, and you brought me to know Patrick Long and so many other men who encourage us and then encourage us to come home and do what the assembly asked to do, no matter how long, and then we could come back. And it was the greatest thing for Don and me, praying when we got back to Bogota. Not praying and asking a leader, but praying and asking your guides and then just sensing what you're doing. It was a wonderful thing to pray and leave it in your hand. Thank you. And I have to ask you to encourage our assemblies. Young people want commendations and we need to encourage them. But we need to be careful too. Thank you, Father, for your love for us in Jesus Christ. It's late, but you'll survive. Somehow you'll make it. I think you'll go home. Have the dish of ice cream a half hour later.